With me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Appreciate so much you being here this evening. It is truly a blessing from our Lord to be able to come together and to worship and to be edified by our worship here this evening. If you notice in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me?" says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs, or goats." Well, these lambs and goats and the blood of bulls was offered to God. This was what they were offering to God. But God says, "I've had enough. I don't want it." You remember in Matthew chapter 15, and in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth," and he's quoting from Isaiah, "they draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." What are they doing? They're honoring God. They're offering worship to God. But the Lord says, "In vain they worship me." It's possible to offer service unto God, but that service be vain, be that which the Lord says, "I don't want." And so the question that I want us to consider this evening is successful service and what is involved in successful service and worship to God. What are the things that we need to do in order that we might not offer that worship that the Lord says, "I've had enough of, I don't want," but that we can offer that worship that is pleasing to the Lord, that brings glory to Him in our worship. And the passage that I want us to study is Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, because in this, Ezra, I think, states the plan, the things that we need to do in order that we might offer successful service and worship unto the Lord, unto God. Now remember, in the days of Ezra, Ezra was among those that were returning from captivity. And if you look back in Ezra chapter 7, it says in verse 1 of Ezra chapter 7, "Now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of," and mentions his genealogy or who he was the son of. It says in verse 6, "This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." Scribe is Ezra is a priest, and he is a scribe of the law of God. And he's made request to the king to go back to Jerusalem and to restore the law, the keeping of the law, and to restore the worship there. That was his desire. It says in verse 9 beginning, "On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." How are they going to restore acceptable service unto God there in Jerusalem now that they've returned from captivity? Well, Ezra states the plan here. Here's what he had prepared his heart to do. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And if we're going to offer successful service, this is what we must do as well. We're going to look at four things this evening. First of all, Ezra prepared his heart. The second thing, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Not only to seek it, but to do it. And also to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Those are the four things that are required if we're to offer successful service. First of all, notice it says that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. But he prepared his heart. Preparation is one key to success in anything, isn't it? You know, a seamstress must prepare her material before she can make a dress. A farmer must prepare the soil before he can plant seed, and before it will produce a crop. A commander must ready his troops before he enters into battle. There's always a need for preparation. And in order to offer successful service to God, there has to be preparation. We must prepare the heart. The word prepare here, W. Vine says, means to be established, to be readied, to be prepared. And so in our service, it begins in the heart, preparing the heart, getting it ready. And if it doesn't begin in the heart, if I just begin to go through the motions of doing some things, then there's not going to be successful service, because there has to be a prepared heart, the right kind of heart. You remember, it says, "And Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away from the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." In the days of Samuel, what kind of service were they to offer? Well, this was what is required. They had to first stop worshiping their false gods, and they had to prepare their hearts for the Lord, to serve Him. In the days of Rehoboam, you remember Rehoboam was the king of Israel when the kingdom divided, and he was the king of Judah, the first king of the southern kingdom. But he did that which was evil. And the reason, it says here, that he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. If ever we're going to offer proper service, there has to be a preparing of the heart. A person's manner of life is determined by what he prepares his heart to do. Always. You will not do what you do without your heart being prepared to do that. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Do you want to know if you're saying, "Well, you know, it's hard for me to evaluate what my heart is"? Well, look at your actions. That's going to tell you where your heart is. What you do then tells you what your heart is. And so preparing the heart means we then must focus in on why do we do? Why do I'm doing what I'm doing? What is most important? And making sure that I prepare to desire to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. You remember Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 35, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." And we know that. What we do is affected by our hearts. Can we doubt, therefore, the necessity of looking to our hearts if we would serve God acceptably? Get our hearts right. And we talked about this. I'm not going to focus in on this in detail tonight, but the importance of looking at who God is and understanding that He is God, and believing in Him. If I'm going to ever prepare my heart, it's going to be because I truly believe in God. It begins with faith in the heart. That's the only way I'm going to prepare the heart to then serve Him. It's kind of like no one's going to run out of a burning house unless he's convinced he believes that the house is on fire. One who is convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God exists and Jesus is His Son, is the one now who's going to prepare his heart to serve. We've got to first have faith in the heart. If I'm ever going to prepare to serve, if I'm going to have the motivation to then love Him, it's believing that God loves me. It's believing and having no doubts in my mind that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and that Jesus died on the cross so that I might be forgiven of my sins. It's believing, no question whatsoever, that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and that my sins will send me to hell, but Jesus died so that I can go to heaven. It's being convinced of that love that God has for me that provided a way whereby I can go to heaven, as we have sung this evening. I mean, that's where I'm going to prepare the heart. It's not going to be just something, well, I think there's a heaven, I think there's a hell, and I surely don't want to go to hell, so okay, I'll try to get myself right. But no, it's becoming convinced of who God is and believing it and trusting Him. And then we will be motivated to prepare the heart. Do we have that? Service, acceptable service, will not take place without it. Well, let's look at the second thing that Ezra mentions here. And that is, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now, the word seek here in this passage, Vine says, means to seek, inquire, consult, ask, require, frequent. It involves really the idea of desire. I seek, ask, consult. I want something because I desire it and I'm seeking after it, asking for it. And what he was seeking after is the law of God. I'm convinced there is a God and that He's given me a law and this is His law, and so I desire to know what His will is for my life because of that that belief. And I prepare my heart to seek after that law. We must desire the Word of God. If we're ever going to offer successful service, it's going to be because we truly want to know what God's will is for our lives. You remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2? Blessed is the man, and that's me. I want to be that person, the blessed man. But he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it, and in His law. He meditates day and night. I want that desire. And when I'm convinced, again, going back to that faith that God is and He loves me and He's provided a way of salvation for me and this is His law that He wants me to seek and to do in order to please Him, I'm going to be motivated to seek that law. I want to desire it. I'll then have the desire that Peter talks about here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 as newborn babes. Desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We know the desire of an infant child that's desiring his mother's milk, crying, screaming out, wanting it. Now that's what Peter, the Lord here, is illustrating for us, the kind of desire we need to have for His law. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word. I find myself sometimes only studying to prepare for sermons. I need not do that. There's nothing wrong in preparing for sermons. But I don't want to study God's Word just for a job, just because it's something I have to do. I need to have the heart that I want to know this. I want to know His will, because that's how I can serve Him properly, is to prepare the heart to seek the law of the Lord. We must put forth effort to learn it. As Peter says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add your faith and virtue to virtue knowledge. And so it's something we have to give diligence to do. It's not something that comes automatically, but something we give diligence because of our faith. Then we're going to seek the law of God. You know, the Word of God is able to save our souls. James 1 verse 21. The Word is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And also, it will give us everlasting life. His commandment is everlasting life. That's what the law of God, the Word of God is. And knowing that, that then helps to motivate me to study it. But I want to note something else here in John 12. Look at what he says in verse 48 also. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Not only is the command everlasting life, but that's the basis upon which I will be judged one day as I stand before Christ in judgment. You ever gone to take a test and you didn't know what was going to be on that test and you did not know what was in the book that you needed to study to do make a good grade? You didn't know the material. I mean, it's frightening. I cannot think of anything more frightening. To go and to be judged by the words of Jesus and not know His words. To not know whether or not I've served Him properly. The emphasis is being placed here on the Word of God and what it does for us in seeking that Word, having that desire to know the law of God. Well, that's exactly what Ezra did. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. But then the third thing, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. To do it. Knowing the law of God is not enough. Doing is essential. I can seek it, but if I don't put it into practice, it will do me no good. And you're familiar with these passages. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." This is in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember. And Jesus emphasizes the importance of doing the will of the Father in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he taught many things in this sermon. But notice how he concludes the sermon in verses 24 to 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What's Jesus doing? He's emphasizing, not just teaching, but He's emphasizing the importance. You not only need to listen and learn, but you need to be doing what this teaching is saying. What would you think of a person who came into an assembly of the church and he had cotton in his ears? And the songs were sung. He didn't know, he couldn't hear it. He was hearing the preacher preach. He couldn't hear it. And he then, after the service, begins to walk out, and someone says to him, said, Why did you come? He says, "Well, I didn't intend to hear." "Well, you didn't get anything out of it." He said, "Yeah, that's probably right." You might think, well, that was foolish for him to come, to waste his time, but not even hearing anything. I want to ask you this. What's the difference between that man and the person that comes to an assembly such as this to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and he hears it, and he knows it, but then he goes away and he doesn't do it? In the final analysis, what's the difference between the man with the cotton in his ears and the man who heard but did not do? In the final analysis, there is no difference. The point is that when we come to learn. When we read God's Word, we read to learn. We learn, though, for the purpose of doing. It's not just learning. It's not just being stirred by a lesson. It's not just being feeling good as a result of hearing a promise of God. But it's taking these words and making them a part of our lives, making a difference in our lives. And that's what the Lord is emphasizing. That's what Ezra had determined to do. And that is to put into practice, to do what he had learned in seeking the law of God. James 1, 22-25 also emphasizes this point. "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Only the one who does is the one who will be blessed. We must be doers of the Word. We show our love for the Lord when we do what He says. I think all of us who claim to be disciples of Christ and who are involved in service to Him, if someone asks us, do you love the Lord? We say, yes, I love the Lord. But how do I know I love the Lord? Well, Jesus tells us. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we know we love Him, is by doing. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. How do I know I love God? By keeping His commandments. I've got to be a doer. If there's anything that I know God wants me to do, and I'm just not putting it into practice, that is an indication that I don't have the love for God, and I'm not offering acceptable service. I may be doing some good things, but the Lord is saying, I've had enough of it. If you don't love me to do all that I command and all that you know that I have commanded you to do, then I don't want what you are giving. I have had enough of that. Proper service, successful service, is to show our love by doing what we learn and what His will is. Don't be like the children of Israel in the days of Ezekiel. You remember, Ezekiel taught the people, and really, there was a time where the people liked it, or at least they expressed what Ezekiel was teaching. They expressed their like for it. Look at what it says. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. But for they hear your words, but they do not do them. I don't know, he's probably being commended in his preaching. Good job, Ezekiel. Pat him on the back. But then they don't do. And what the Lord's emphasizing here is that if they're ever going to be pleasing to me, it's going to be because they do what is being said. Let's not be like the children of Israel in the days of Ezekiel. But then there's the fourth thing that Ezra prepared his heart to do, to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so, not only do we learn it, we do it, we then want others to do it. And so we share this gospel, we share God's will with others. That's what David wanted to do. You remember, he sought God's forgiveness when he committed adultery and murder, and he sought that God would cleanse him. But notice what he says after he would be assured of his cleansing. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. When we become convinced that we're saved, and that we're right with God, then we want others to know that. And we want to share that gospel then with others. The psalmist wanted to speak of God's testimony before kings. He says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Never should we be ashamed of God's Word. It may not be the way the world thinks. It may not be politically correct. It may be that people will think we're crazy. But I'm going to share this. I'm going to teach it to others and show them this is the way of God. Early disciples did it. It was not just the apostles and, quote, the clergy. We don't find that distinction in the Bible between laity and clergy. It says that the disciples who were scattered from Jerusalem because of a persecution went everywhere preaching the Word. That included people like you and me as we go out. What are we here to do? We need to preach the Word. They were being persecuted for it. That's the reason they were being persecuted in Jerusalem. That's the reason they left Jerusalem, is because of persecution for the Word that was being preached, and they believed it. Well, they continued to preach it. And that's the attitude that we need to have. We must be ready to give an answer to anyone who would ask us a reason for our hope. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. So, these are the things that are required in order for us to offer successful service to God. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so it's up to each of us as we then think about our service to God. Is it that which the Lord would say that He's pleased with, He wants us to continue in? Or is the service that I'm rendering that which He would say, I've had enough, I don't want it, don't offer this to me? If it's the latter, then I can change. You know, I can repent. And if there are any here this evening who need to do that, if you come to realize that your service hasn't been the kind of service that God wants you to offer to Him, then make that change. Repent of your sins and go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. And if you want the prayers of the brethren, we encourage you to come forward this evening. It may be some of you have never become a Christian. You've never given your life to Jesus, never been born again. And if that be the case, we want to encourage you to make that decision to come to Jesus so that you might be saved and that you might be His, the child of God. You may be a part of the family of God. And you're able to serve Him as His child. If you've never made that beginning, then come tonight believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of all your sins. Confess your faith, and then be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. The invitation of our Lord is extended right now to you. He's always extended, but now's the time, and if you need to come, we encourage you to do that while together we stand and sing.